and verse number 21 and 22. There's a whole story there, but I don't want to use the story. I want a couple of verses from it. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Question. Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, you know what 70 times seven is? 490 times. Another place it says seven times seven, which we're going to read here. But they ask him, Lord, if somebody comes and he uses the word sin, if somebody comes and they do something wrong against me, they sin against me, am I supposed to forgive them? How about seven times? If I forgive them seven times, Jesus said, not just seven times, but 70 times seven. That's a lot of times. Probably by the time you forgive them that many times, you done forgot about what it was that was bothering you. Go in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17, verse number 3 and 5. Luke chapter number 17, verse number 3 and 3 to 5. Luke 17, verse number 3 says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day. See, not just seven times, but seven times in one day. Seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said, after hearing this, they said, Lord, increase our faith. And if we're going to have to forgive somebody like that, then Lord, you sure need to increase our faith. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes on forgiveness. Father, we pray to you to help us now to be a blessing to your people. And God, we pray that the words of God here will have an effect upon our life, Father. God, let us not be controlled by outside forces, but God, let us be controlled by you and by the words of God. Father, we know that this whole world, God, is gone crazy, and they're controlled by other things. And we pray, God, that you'd help us, Father, to be, Lord, to be controlled by the words of God here. May these things have an impact upon our life. And please help me, I pray, to preach this message in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the question. If someone does you wrong and they come to you asking for forgiveness, can you do that? Will you do that if they ask you for forgiveness? In the text, it says, if thy brother trespass against thee. So that's somebody that you know, somebody maybe who's a Christian. A brother here will say is a Christian, another Christian. Do you have the grace to forgive someone who does something wrong to you? In Matthew, he used the word sin. If somebody sins against you. In Luke here, he used the word trespass. If somebody trespass against you, look up the word trespass. The word trespass means to go onto somebody else's property. You know, no trespassing, or you go too far, you trespass. You go somewhere, you go where you're not supposed to. Trespass in this instance means to say something you're not supposed to. It means to injure someone or to annoy them, you know. You ever get annoyed? I can get annoyed. You know, that annoys me, you know. I, other words that people use for it bugs me, you know. I think one of my daughters, it's both of my daughters. They have this saying, it bugs. It bugs, you know. Something bugs you, see. Something annoys you, see. That's what he's talking about. They violate you in some way to trespass. So he says, if thy brother trespass against thee, and he comes and says, forgive me. Jesus said, forgive them. Do you have the grace to forgive them? To forgive, what does it mean to forgive? I know you know what it means, but we think we know what it means. To forgive means to pardon somebody. it's okay. Pardon you. You're free to go. To overlook an offense. You just overlook it. You overlook it. You treat the offender, the one who did it, you treat them as not being guilty. To send the offense away. It means to not impute the offense to them. Don't charge them with that offense, whatever they did to you. In other words, you treat them as if it had never happened. See, now that's hard to do. To treat someone as if what they did against you, it didn't even happen, you see. It didn't even happen because here's what happens. And here's what happens. A lot of times people, they might say the words, okay. They might say the words. They might say the words that they do forgive, but they never forget about it. They don't forget about it. And then from then on, they just don't act the same. Has that ever happened to you? Or maybe you've done that. Maybe you've done that. You see, they say they forgive. They say they say the words, but they never do act. They never act the same. They don't act the same after that. You see, turn your Bibles back to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9. Here's where Jesus teaching, they ask him, Lord, how do we pray? And Jesus said, verse number 9, Matthew 6 and verse number 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts. See, that's asking God to forgive us for what we have done against him. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, those who have done something against us. Verse number 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, so he taught them, he said, when you pray like this. God forgive us, and we'll forgive other people. But he says in verse number 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. See, so what he says here, he says, listen, if you want me to listen to you whenever you come to me, whenever you come to me and ask me to forgive you, if you want me to forgive you, then you need to forgive other people. If you want me to listen to you, then you need to pay attention to other people, you see. And so he tells them to forgive others so that they may have forgiveness themselves. Now, here's what God says whenever you come to him. Turn in your Bibles, please, back over to 1 John, way in the back there, 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1, and you ought to have this memorized, should be marked, you ought to memorize it because you need to use it every day. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 7 says, but if we walk in the light, let me back up to verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So you see, he's talking here. He's talking about people. He's talking about Christians here. He's talking about saved people. And we're to come to him, and the blood of Jesus Christ is available to cleanse us from all sin. Verse number 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's talking about us. He's talking about saved people. Just because you get saved, that does not mean that you're perfect. Does not mean that we are without sin, because we're not without sin, judicially, God has forgiven us of our sin. But out here in the real world, we still do things wrong because a couple of reasons. Number one, because we still live in a body of flesh. We still live in a body of flesh. And number two, we live in an evil world, you see. And our body wants to do what it wants to do. Our flesh has a mind of its own. So he says there, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now here's what he says that we are to do as a Christian. Day by day, we are to look at ourselves and examine ourselves in verse number 9. To confess, if we confess our sins, that is, you are to agree with God that this is wrong, whatever you're talking about. If we confess our sins, If we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. I just told you what it means to forgive. That is, to treat it as if it had never happened, you see. To not impute that sin unto us. You see, after you get saved, you're still going to do things wrong, but God does not charge you with those sins. You see, because if you died and there was one sin charged against you, then you'd go to hell, because it only takes one sin. One sin to make you a sinner. He doesn't charge you with those sins. Those sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But in order for you to restore your fellowship with God on a daily basis and walk with Him, then you need to agree with God. You need to confess your sins and keep your heart clean day by day. See, you might as well tell Him about it, because He already knows about it anyway. He already knows. You see, have you ever been in this situation? I don't even want to tell God about it. I don't even want to tell Him. I don't even want to talk about it. You know, I wish I hadn't have done it, but I did. And so you're saying this in your mind, you know. And you don't want to tell God about it, but He already knows about it, see. So you might as well go on and tell Him about it and get it cleared up, see. And so He said, if we confess our sins, agree with God, He is faithful and just. That's God. That's God. He is faithful and just to forgive us, to not charge us with that sin, to not impute that sin to us, to treat us as if it had never happened, you see, to pardon us. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. You see, no man can give you absolution. Nobody can give you, I'm sorry. No priest can give anybody absolution. If you sinned against somebody, you can go to them and they can forgive you. But if you sinned against God, no man is going to be able to give you absolution. You know, you've seen pictures of this and all this kind of stuff. Oh, I'm dying, I got to have a priest and all this. Won't do you a bit of good. Won't do you a bit of good. He cannot give anybody absolution. He cannot forgive anybody any sins. He does not have the power to do that. He can forgive you of something you've done wrong against Him, but not something you've done wrong against God. You have to go to God. That's why you've got these verses here in the Bible, you see. But God will forgive sins. Turn back in your Bible. Turn back in your Bible to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2. And here's Jesus preaching in a house. In Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Again, He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that He was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and He preached the word unto them. And they came unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? You see, only God can forgive sins. Look down in verse number 9. He said, Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? You know what He's saying there? He said, I can just as easily heal this man physically as I can to forgive his sins. One or the other. That's Jesus. We can't do that, but He could, you see. And so God only forgives sins. Verse number 10, But that you may know that the Son of Man, that's Jesus, hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of the palsy. See, that's God. You see, God Almighty, His character is mercy. I'm sorry for having to chase you around all through the Bible this morning, but I don't think it'll hurt you. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 34. Exodus, second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter number 34. Exodus chapter number 34. Moses wanted to see God. Moses wanted to see God. And if you look up there in chapter number 33 and verse number 18, Exodus 33 and verse number 18, and he said, That's Moses talking. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. show me thy glory. Verse number 19, I'd like to see God's glory, wouldn't you? You know, God, the glory of God, that's Jesus Christ is God's glory. Show me thy glory. In other words, Moses, he wanted to see something with his eyes, you know. He wanted to see something with his physical eyes. And God said in verse number 19, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Verse number 20, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Stand upon a rock, man. You know who the rock is? The rock is Jesus Christ. If you stand upon the rock, you stand upon the rock, then you're standing beside God. You're standing beside God. In verse number 22, it came to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. A cleft of the rock. Don't we have that? There's a cleft of the rock. I guess that's all we have there, cleft of the rock. But a cleft in the rock is a split place in the rock. You know, like the split, the where the spear made a place in the side of Jesus Christ in a rock. It's a split place where you stand in it and you're hidden. We sing a song, in the cleft of the rock. He hideth my soul in a cleft of the rock. That's what he's talking about there, that rock. You stand upon that rock and he's hidden. He's hidden in that rock there. And he said, I'm going to pass by. And whenever I pass by, you can't see my face, but I'll show you. I'll show you my back parts. Verse number 22, it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now he doesn't do that until the next chapter. You go on down to verse number 7 in the next chapter. Go down to verse number 7 in the next chapter. Verse number 5 in the next chapter. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. In other words, God came down. He's going to talk with Moses, and God is going to talk about himself. God's going to talk about himself there in verse number 5. The Lord passed by in verse number 6. Passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousand. And look at verse number 7, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear the guilty. And there's a lot can be said about that. But for today, we don't have time to talk about it. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. What I wanted you to notice there is that part of God's character is that he is merciful, that he is kind, and that he is forgiving. He will forgive people. He has to forgive people, because if God wasn't merciful and forgiving, then none of us would be here. None of us would be here today. You know, I know today in today's society that a lot of people think that they're good and all this kind of stuff and God is evil, but it's the other way around. It's the other way around. See, if God didn't forgive people, then none of us would be here. I'm going over here to the book of Lamentations, and I'll read it for you because I'm already there. Lamentations chapter number 3 and verse number 22 says this. Listen carefully. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You see, every day, whenever you get up, God's mercies are new. God's mercies are new. I'll tell you this. I don't want to tell you any of my sins or anything, but you know, sometimes if I don't feel like talking with God at night, maybe I did something wrong during the day and I just don't, and I'm just backslidden. I'm just backslidden and I don't want to talk to God at night. But when I get up of a morning, guess what? I feel like talking to God then. I feel like it because it's a new morning and his mercies are new. Now, I know during the day his mercies are not going to run out. I know that. But, you know, I just have a problem, and so I don't feel like talking with him at night. I do all of my praying of a morning. And so, of a morning when I get up, I just feel like it's new. And I can talk to God. I feel like maybe God's in a better a better mood. That's not true. That's just the way I feel. I feel like God's in a better mood, you know, and I can... That's not true. He's not in a better mood. He doesn't get... I don't think he gets in bad moods like we do. But so you can talk to him like that, you see. Did you know the worst king... I put this down as an illustration. The worst king in the Bible in Israel's history was a man by the name of Manasseh. And he was so evil. You just wouldn't believe how evil he was. And man, I would think, God, if it was me, if it's God, you know, I'd just wipe the guy out. But you know what? God didn't. God forgave that man. And I figure if God would forgive a man like Manasseh, then God would just forgive anybody. And I'll read about him in 2 Chronicles chapter number 33. 2 Chronicles chapter number 33. I'm going to read about him. You can listen or you can look if you want. But listen, as I read about this guy, Manasseh. And here's the thing, folks. Manasseh had a good father. His father's name was Hezekiah. And he's a good king. He's one of the best kings that Israel ever had. But how in the world did Manasseh turn out to be such a bad king? I don't know. I don't know how it did. But Bible says in 2 Chronicles 33 and verse number 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. 55 years, man, you can do a lot of damage or a lot of good in 55 years. We have presidents and they're there for 4 years or 8 years or something like that. They can do a lot of bad stuff with these, executive orders and all that kind of stuff. They can do a lot of damage. They can do a lot of bad and they can do a lot of good in 4 years or 8 years like that. Manasseh, he's a king. He's a ruler over Israel. He has all power for 55 years. He was evil. Man, he was a bad king. I mean, if we were in charge, we'd just get rid of the guy. But verse number 2 says, but he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, likened to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places of which Hezekiah's father had broken down. He reared up altars for Balaam. See, that's idolatry. He made groves. He worshipped all the hosts of heaven. He worshipped the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he served them. Verse number 4, also he built altars in the house of the Lord unto these false gods, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. Verse number 5, and he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children. God would give him children. It says he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. In other words, he'd kill them. He would burn them to these false gods. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft, dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he carved an image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. And he's desecrating the place where God has put his name. And verse number 8, neither will I anymore remove. Let me skip that verse. Verse number 9, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen. Now, folks, let me stop there. That's really bad when someone who's supposed to know God, he's not a Christian here. This is the Old Testament. But he knows the God of Israel. He has God's law. He has the Old Testament. He has all of that, but yet he is worse than the heathen that are around him. That's really bad. Verse number 10, and the Lord spake to Moses and to his people, but they would not hearken. Probably spoke to them by prophets, you see, but they wouldn't listen. And later on, they went into captivity because of it. I believe that God Almighty is speaking to people today. I believe that Jesus is going to come real soon. I don't know how long. I don't know how long it'll be. But you don't know. Let me tell you something, folks. You don't want to be doing something that you ought not to be doing whenever Jesus comes. I have to watch myself. I don't want to be doing something whenever Jesus Christ comes in the air and says, come up hither. I don't want to be doing something I ought to be doing. I don't want to be someplace that I oughtn't to be whenever Jesus Christ comes. I don't want to miss some rewards. I probably already missed a bunch. I don't want to miss rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. But I believe that God is speaking to people now in the United States of America. he's speaking to us because he's going to come real soon. Verse number 11 says, wherefore? Now, because of the sin of Manasseh that we just read about, here's what God did. God brought enemies against Manasseh and the children of Israel. Verse number 11, wherefore the Lord wrought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. See, they came against Israel. They captured the king. They bound him up, tied him up, and they took him to Babylon because of his sin. God didn't kill him, but he did this to him. Verse number 12, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And verse number 13, and he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him. That's God. Manasseh got down on his face, and he besought the Lord, he said, and he humbled himself. As evil as he was, he besought God. Verse number 13, and he prayed unto him, and he was entreated unto him. And God heard his supplication, and God brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. You know what God did? As evil, the worst, most evil king that ever lived in Israel, God forgave that man. I'm just showing you that God forgives people. Folks, listen, in order to get Manasseh to turn around, God set enemies against him. He bound him up, carried him off to Babylon. And there, Manasseh got on his face. After all these evil things happened to him, finally he humbled himself greatly before God, and God heard him. I'm saying that to say this. Do you know, people, that God is going to have to do that too to get their attention? That's bad. Whenever God has to do those kinds of things to people to get their attention, God can do that. God can send enemies against people. He can send enemies against people to get their attention. And if they will humble themselves, then God will forgive them. But if they don't, if they do not humble themselves, then no telling what is going to happen to them, you see. But God heard that man. As evil as he was, God heard him and forgave him. He came back to Jerusalem. He allowed him to be king again. I know about all these things from personal experience. I know about this, you know, how God can forgive you. No matter what you have done, and God can still use you. He still used Manasseh as evil as he was. God still forgives people. Just think about this. Just think about Jesus Christ on the cross. What was the very first thing that Jesus did on the cross? The very first words that he said. He spoke seven times from the cross. The first thing that he said this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Could you do that? I couldn't do that. I don't think I would have the grace to do that, you see. But God forgives people who do things against him. People do horrible things even after they're saved sometimes. They do. They get drunk. They use God's name in vain. You say, oh, saved people can't do that. Well, they oughtn't to do that. And they'll be chastened for it because they're a child of God. And God will forgive them, but they can do evil things. This guy named Manasseh, he knows the law. He's not as saved like a New Testament Christian is, but he knows the law. He has the Bible and all that kind of stuff, and he did things worse than the heathen did. God forgave him. Amen. Forgiveness. Can you forgive somebody if they will come to you and ask you to forgive them? can you treat them as though it had never happened? Or are you just going to say it from your mouth, but in your heart, it's still there? It's still there. Is it still there? Forgiveness is necessary, number one. Forgiveness is necessary to have a right relationship with God. You want to have a right relationship with God? You got to ask God to forgive you. Keep yourself clean. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Samson. Samson was a mighty man. Man, he had a miraculous birth. He did miraculous things. The Spirit of God was on him more than any person in the Bible. It says about Samson that the Spirit of God came upon him. I mean, he could lift a 1,000-pound gate. He could lift it up over his hands, and he could run up a hill. He could carry that thing 20 miles, and that's what he did. But Samson had a problem. He had a problem with women. And guess what? There's no record in the Bible of Samson ever getting on his knees and asking God to forgive him. And finally, Samson was killed by it was like suicide. He pushed the temple of the Philistines down upon himself, you see. Now, if Samson, and the Bible says about Samson that he judged Israel for 20 years, what would have happened if Samson would have confessed his sins and stayed right with God? He could have judged Israel for 40 years. He's in the book of Judges, by the way. He's a judge, probably the 13th judge. But anyway, he could have judged Israel for 40 years instead of just 20 years. But his work was cut short because he refused to get right with God and to stay right with God. If you want to stay right with God, it's necessary to keep yourself clean, to ask God to forgive you of your sins daily, whatever they are. A lot of people, they don't like to, you know, there's a lot of sins that we don't talk about that we're guilty of. You know, the Bible says in, I believe it's Matthew 5:48 or Matthew 5:28, man looketh on a woman to lust after her. If a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. See, people do that all the time and they just go right on. You need not to do that. You need to keep your eyes. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5 about verse number 24, talking to a young man, said, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyes look right on, and women ought to dress decently and modestly too. That's part of it, you see. If you want to keep a right relationship with God, then you're supposed to confess your sins. When a Christian sins of any kind of sin, he does not lose his salvation. You're not going to lose your salvation. If you are saved and born again by the Spirit of God, you do not lose your salvation, but what you lose is your fellowship with God. You lose your fellowship with God. You don't need to get saved again, but you need to get the sin removed between you and God. Amen. I could show you other verses, but I'm running out of time. The Bible says God turns His face away from us whenever we sin, and He will not hear us. Not that He cannot hear us, but He will not hear us. Forgiveness is necessary for a right relationship with God. Number two, forgiveness is necessary for a right relationship with other people. Listen, folks, everybody does stupid things. Everybody does stupid things. You ever done anything stupid? Well, if you hadn't, I've probably done enough for all of us. Enough stupid things. Everybody does stupid things. We're a bunch of sinners. We're a bunch of sinners. Here's what the Bible says. If you want to look it up, Ephesians 4:32, I'll give it to you. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He said, because God has forgiven you, you ought to forgive other people. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's how. And so if we're going to have a right relationship with other people, then we are to forgive other people. I'd add a third thing to this. Forgiveness is necessary for a right relationship at home with your wife and your kids. You're going to live with somebody for a long time. I've been married for 53 years, over 53 years. You want to stay married for a long time, you have to learn how to forgive. You have to learn how to forgive, even if they don't ask you. It won't hurt to ask you. But see, everybody's got stupid things that they do. They've got, they've just got things that just annoy somebody. See, that you just bug. I wish you wouldn't do that, see. Now, I never tell my wife that, and she doesn't tell me that. Well, she has told me a few things. But I don't think I've ever told her that. I'm probably lying, but I don't know. But she's told me, don't do that, you know. I can't remember some of the things she told me. When I was a kid, I used to have this habit, I spit through my teeth. A little hole right there, and spit. Don't spit through your teeth. She don't like to hear me whistle. Don't whistle. Don't. I don't know why. I thought it sounded good, but she don't say, don't whistle. You see, and a lot of other things, you know, probably a lot of other things, probably a lot, and a snore, don't, she don't want to hear, she don't want to snore. You see, well, I don't think I snore anymore. I got over that. One of these days, I'll bring you folks. Now, if you have this machine in your house, I have in my house a machine. It's about this big and about this big. And I got this thing called sleep apnea. And in order for me to actually sleep, I have to wear this. It's called a Darth Vader mask. A Darth Vader mask like this, you know. It goes on you and it's got a hose that goes to this machine. And that hose helps you breathe so you don't snore. You see, but I lost about 25 pounds, and I don't have to have that thing anymore. Did you know what? The doctor never told me that. You know why? They like to sell machines. They like to sell machines. The doctors, they like to sell pills. They've got a pill for every ache and pain. They don't tell you how to get over it. They only treat the symptoms. I'm just throwing this in. This is just extra. You see, and I'm not a doctor. But you ought to study on these kinds of things. All pills have bad side effects. They're drugs. They're drugs and all that kind of stuff. Drug society. You know, I mean, you should make it a goal in your life to get off of all of them if you possibly can. I've got one that I take, and I'm hoping to get off of that soon. You see, but if you want to have a right relationship at home with husband, wife, children, and all that, even with your kids. You have to learn how to forgive, to treat it as if it had never happened. You can't go around, folks. You can't go around. You can't go around being mad about something that somebody did. At least don't do it, but just for one day. See, when you get up of a morning, you know, I mean, man, I'm bad at this. I mean, man, I just turn around and point myself this young. I mean, I can just get mad and I can grit my teeth and I can just be... Boy, I'm telling you, I wish you shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said that, and blah, 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 you know. And I shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do it. Just get over it. See, and don't carry a grudge. Don't carry a grudge. Just forget it. Just wipe it out. I know people that have carried a grudge for 25 years. 25 years. They quit coming to church. They do all kinds of things because they're mad. And you would be surprised at how trivial. Such trivial what happened. Just some little rinky-dink thing that somebody did or you did or I did. And I'm bad, see. I'm bad up here preaching. I say something, somebody got mad at me. I mean, I've been through all this stuff for years. You see. And so don't carry a grudge. Don't carry a grudge. Won't do you any good. You see, Jesus, God will forgive us. There's a story in the Bible, the last chapter of the book of Genesis. Last chapter in Genesis, verse number 20. Here's when Jacob died, he had 12 sons, and the 11 of those sons sold Joseph, the younger son. They sold him into slavery. And when their father died, they're afraid that the 11 boys that sold the father, that sold the Joseph into slavery, they're afraid that he's going to seek revenge. But he said, look, he said, I know you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God made something good out of it. And I just try to kind of put that over here and apply that to Jesus Christ. We've done things wrong against God. We've sinned against God. We've broken the Ten Commandments. But God said, I'll forgive you. Jesus said, I'll forgive you. He says this. He said, look, if I came and died on the cross for you, don't you think I'd forgive you? He will. Jesus Christ came and shed his blood and suffered and died on the cross the shame and the suffering and the spitting in his face. And I'll guarantee if he'll die on that cross for you, then he will forgive you. The Bible says we are to be like that. We are to forgive other people that trespass or sin against us because he forgave us. If he died for you, he'll forgive you. Bible says this in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we need. We need mercy. God, don't give me what I deserve. God, I don't want what I deserve. God, I pray for mercy. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. Altars are going to be open in a minute.